Welcome to Digest Discussions, where every episode brings the pages of knowledge to life. Dive deep with us into the heart of academic excellence, where the latest blog posts from Doctoral Digest aren't just read, they're explored, questioned, and expanded. In this podcast, we peel back the layers of complex topics, offering doctoral candidates and scholarly enthusiasts a seat at our roundtable of innovation, where we guide new doctoral students and dissertation warriors through the often confusing world of academics.
You know, today's topic really resonates with me on a personal level. Time management during doctoral studies isn't just a skill, it's survival. I remember my first year feeling like I was drowning in commitments while everyone else seemed to be peacefully floating along.
Absolutely. And what I find fascinating about today's Doctoral Digest article is how it frames time management not as some rigid system of productivity hacks, but as a well-choreographed dance. It acknowledges the complexity and fluidity required. Let's dive into these multiple roles doctoral students juggle: researcher, teacher, networker, and still maintaining a personal life.
That multiplicity of roles is precisely what makes doctoral studies so challenging. You're not just a student consuming knowledge. You're expected to produce original research, often teach undergraduates, network at conferences, and somehow maintain relationships outside academia. Each role demands different skills and energy levels. Were there particular roles you found most challenging to balance?
For me, it was definitely the transition from passive learner to active researcher. As undergrads, we're trained to absorb information, but doctoral work demands creation. I'd spend hours in analysis paralysis, unsure if my research questions were novel enough or my methodology sound. That uncertainty ate up incredible amounts of time. What about you?
I struggled most with the teaching component. There's a certain vulnerability in standing before a room of undergraduates when you're still figuring out your own academic identity. Preparation for teaching would expand to fill every available minute if I let it. The article mentions time blocking as a critical strategy. I wish I'd implemented that sooner.
Time blocking really is transformative. I started using it in my second year, dedicating specific hours to different tasks. Monday mornings for literature review, Tuesday afternoons for data analysis, Wednesday mornings for writing. Suddenly, the amorphous blob of dissertation work became manageable chunks. But I think what's equally important, and the article touches on this, is scheduling downtime.
Absolutely. The myth of continuous productivity is so pervasive in academia. There's this unspoken expectation that true scholars work around the clock, fueled by passion and caffeine. But the research on cognitive function is clear. Our brains need rest to consolidate information and generate insights. I love how the article quotes Tom Johnson. Creating a realistic schedule is more about making time for life than just getting things done.
That quote perfectly captures what took me years to learn. When I finally started enforcing boundaries, no work after 8 p.m., one full day off per week, my productivity paradoxically increased. The quality of my thinking improved dramatically. Speaking of boundaries, let's talk about the burnout prevention strategies the article discusses. Mindfulness practices, physical activity, journaling — these aren't luxuries, they're necessities.
I'm particularly drawn to the section on journaling. Academia can be isolating, and the constant evaluation can trigger intense self-doubt. During my dissertation, I kept what I called a progress journal. Not just tracking research milestones, but also recording small victories and processing setbacks. It became a crucial tool for managing the emotional roller coaster of doctoral work.
That's brilliant. The emotional dimension of time management often gets overlooked. We focus so much on scheduling tasks that we forget to account for the emotional labor involved in research and writing. The article mentions imposter syndrome as a significant time drain. That feeling that you don't belong or aren't smart enough to be in a doctoral program. How did you combat those feelings?
For me, it was about building community. The article's section on leveraging support systems really hit home. I joined a dissertation writing group that met weekly. Having peers who understood exactly what I was going through provided validation and practical support. We'd troubleshoot methodological challenges together, share resources, and sometimes just commiserate. That community made the journey less lonely.
Community is vital, but let's also talk about the formal support systems. The article emphasizes the importance of engaging with academic advisors. The advisor relationship can make or break the doctoral experience. Do you have any insights about managing that crucial relationship effectively?
That's such an important point. Your advisor isn't just an academic mentor, they're a gateway to opportunities, a buffer against institutional challenges, and often your primary advocate in the department. I found scheduling regular meetings essential, even when I didn't have significant progress to report. Maintaining that connection prevented me from going too far down unproductive paths.
And advisors can help with time management directly. Mine helped me distinguish between perfectionism and excellence, showing me when something was good enough to move forward. That prevented countless hours of unnecessary revisions. The article mentions this indirectly when discussing assessment of personal strengths and weaknesses in time management.
Speaking of assessment, I appreciate how the article encourages students to reflect on their time management patterns. Are you a morning person or night owl? Do you work better in long, uninterrupted blocks or shorter bursts? Doctoral work offers flexibility, but without self-awareness, that flexibility can become a trap.
Absolutely. I discovered I had about 4 good hours of deep thinking in me each day, usually in the morning. Once I accepted that limitation, I planned accordingly, scheduling creative work during peak hours and saving administrative tasks for the afternoon slump. The article touches on this when discussing scheduling tools and apps. Different systems work for different people.
Let's talk more about those technological solutions. The article mentions Trello, Google Calendar, and Todoist. I found digital tools helpful, but sometimes the physical act of writing in a planner helped me internalize commitments better. What worked for you?
I became a digital convert out of necessity. Collaborating across time zones meant I needed shared calendars and project management tools. But I agree that there's something powerful about analog planning too. I often used a combination: digital tools for team coordination and a paper journal for personal reflection and priority setting. The key is finding what works for your particular circumstances.
Exactly, and circumstances change throughout the doctoral journey. The time management strategies that work during coursework might not serve you during data collection or dissertation writing. The article could perhaps emphasize more strongly the need to reassess and adapt strategies as you progress.
That's an excellent point about adaptation. The dissertation phase, in particular, requires a different approach than coursework. Without the structure of classes and deadlines, many students flounder. Creating artificial milestones and accountability systems becomes crucial. Did you use any particular strategies during the dissertation phase?
I broke my dissertation into mini projects with deadlines I shared with my advisor and writing group. Converting the amorphous "write a dissertation" into concrete deliverables. Literature review by this date, methodology chapter by that date, made the process less overwhelming. I also used visual tracking systems like a progress bar for word count or research tasks completed to maintain motivation.
Visual systems can be so powerful. They provide concrete evidence of progress when the journey feels endless. The article mentions setting boundaries around work hours, which is related to this. Without the external structure of an office or classroom, doctoral students must create their own container for work. What boundaries did you find most helpful?
Spatial boundaries were crucial for me. Designating a specific area in my home solely for dissertation work. When I sat at that desk, my brain knew it was time to focus. I also established communication boundaries, letting friends and family know my working hours and when I'd be unavailable. But perhaps the most important boundary was with myself. Learning to silence the internal voice that said I should always be working more.
That internal voice, the academic superego, can be the hardest taskmaster. There's a culture of overwork in academia that the article addresses when discussing burnout prevention. I think doctoral programs could do more to model healthy work habits. When professors email at midnight or humble brag about working weekends, it normalizes unsustainable patterns.
Absolutely. Institutional culture shapes individual behavior so powerfully. Some advisors explicitly discuss work-life balance with their students now, which is a positive shift. But systemic change is slow. In the meantime, doctoral students need permission to prioritize their well-being, which this article helpfully provides.
Let's circle back to the assessment component. The article suggests reflecting on questions like, do you plan your day in advance? And how do you handle distractions? I found regular metacognitive reflection invaluable. Every few months, I'd assess what was working in my routine and what needed adjustment. That prevented me from continuing with ineffective strategies out of habit.
That reflective practice is so important. Academia trains us to analyze texts, data, and ideas with sophistication, but we often fail to apply that analytical lens to our own work processes. The most successful doctoral students I know were those who could honestly evaluate their productivity patterns and make evidence-based adjustments.
The article touches on this when discussing scheduling tools, urging students to experiment with different systems. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to time management, despite what productivity gurus might claim. It's about developing self-awareness and crafting personalized strategies.
Exactly. And I think that's why the community aspect is so valuable. Not just for emotional support, but for exposing you to different working methods. Seeing how peers approach similar challenges can spark insights about your own process. Have you continued to use any of the time management strategies from your doctoral years in your current work?
Many of them. Time blocking remains central to my approach. Though the blocks look different now, I've maintained boundaries around work hours, even as technology increasingly blurs the line between professional and personal time. And I still use mindfulness practices to manage stress and enhance focus. These aren't just academic skills, they're life skills.
I've had a similar experience. The time management capabilities I developed during my dissertation have served me well beyond academia. Learning to break complex projects into manageable components, balancing multiple responsibilities, and preventing burnout through intentional self-care. These are transferable skills, valuable in any knowledge-intensive career.
That transferability is something doctoral students should remember when they're in the thick of it. The dissertation isn't just a credential, it's a process that builds profound metacognitive skills. Time management might seem like a mundane topic compared to your research specialty, but mastering it will serve you throughout your career.
Absolutely. And I think that's why resources like this Doctoral Digest article are so valuable. They normalize the struggles that many students face silently, provide practical strategies, and frame these challenges as developmental opportunities rather than personal failings.
As we wrap up, are there any final thoughts on time management for doctoral students that you'd like to share?
I think the most important message is that effective time management isn't about squeezing more work hours into each day. It's about aligning your energy with your priorities, protecting your cognitive resources, and creating sustainable patterns that prevent burnout. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and pacing yourself is essential.
Beautifully put. I'd add that flexibility is key. Your strategies will evolve as you progress through your program and as life circumstances change. What matters is developing that reflective capacity to continually assess what's working and what isn't, then adapt accordingly. The tools and techniques are important, but the metacognitive skill of managing your own process is the true superpower.
That reflective capacity is indeed the foundation. Thank you for this rich discussion. I hope it provides both practical strategies and permission for self-compassion to doctoral students navigating these challenges.
Thanks for joining us for this Digest discussion. We're the Academic Renegade crew, reminding you that you are not alone in your doctoral journey. Join us for every episode as we break down the Doctoral Digest's most compelling content, bringing expert commentary, critical analysis, and a touch of scholarly camaraderie right to your ears. This isn't just another academic podcast. It's a community, an idea incubator, and your weekly dose of scholarly innovation all rolled into one.
Tune into Digest discussions and transform the way you engage with academic literature. Let's start the conversation today.